Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses and 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate where whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision. Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king to hear you." And Absalom would add, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or a case could come to me and I would see that they receive justice." Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out to his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. Absalom behaved this way toward all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. At the end of 4 years, Absalom said to the king, "Let me go to Hebron and fulfill a vow I made to the Lord. While your servant was living in Jehur and Aram, I made this vow. If the Lord takes me back to Jerusalem, I will worship the Lord in Hebron." The king said to him, "Go in peace." So he went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent secret messages throughout the tribes of Israel to say, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpets, then say Absalom is king in Hebron."
We have some amazing kids. Kids, thank you so much for serving us. We just wanted to celebrate our kids and in a way celebrate the great work that our kids' church leaders do week after week preparing. Really are blessed, aren't we? The effort they put in and training and leading our kids and helping them get the confidence to do, to lead in the way they have. So thank you so much for that. Today we're learning about King David, the greatest king in the Old Testament. And we've learned a lot about David, how he trusted in the Lord, how he led God's people in defeating their enemies, how he was a good and just king, and how he showed kindness to his people, how he served the people and did what was best for them. And most of all, he loved the Lord more than anything else. That was the best thing about David. He really did love the Lord. But one day, David did something wrong. Very wrong. He stole the wife of one of his best soldiers. And then he killed that soldier. Had him murdered. And David's kingdom was never the same after that. And last week we saw how one of David's sons, Amnon, hurt one of his sisters very badly. And then how his other brother, Absalom, came along and murdered Amnon. Things were in a mess in this kingdom, weren't they? And David should have done something about it, but he didn't. Because he had done something wrong himself, and that meant he was not able to stop other people from doing wrong. And this son, Absalom, he decided that he was going to become the king. He thought, "David's not doing a very good job. I'm going to be king," said Absalom. How would he do that? Well, let me tell you what he did to become king. First of all, he wanted to look good. He was already a pretty good-looking guy, had lovely big hair, but he provided himself with a chariot, a fast one, so that everyone would know that how cool he was and how great he was, because that's what all the kings in all the other countries did. They had a big, fast chariot. But the Bible tells us that if you're trusting in chariots, that's actually a mistake. You should be trusting in God. But that's not all he did. He also had 50 men come along and run along beside him whenever he went up to the city gate. I think they were probably like soldiers, big, strong men, so that everyone would think, "Well, he must be really important. He's got all these 50 men running along with him." And everyone wanted to know, "Wow, what's this prince got to say? He's the son of the king. He's next in line of the throne. He must be really important." But do you know what? Jesus taught us much later that we should never be putting on a show. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." If you want to be great, Jesus said, you ought to be like a servant. Well, if Absalom wanted to be a good king, he should have been learning how to serve, not learning how to be a show-off. But Absalom was never going to be a good king. The next thing he did wrong was he lied. Should never tell lies. The next thing he did, he pretended that he could fix everything when he couldn't. So every morning he'd sit at the front gate of the city. Whenever anyone would come along to say that something was wrong, he would call out and he'd say to them, "Look, your claims are valid and proper. But there is no representative of the king to hear you. And Absalom would add, if only I was appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or a case to come to me, and they would receive justice. That's what Absalom said. And Absalom would tell everyone who can complain, hey, come to me, I will fix it all up. And he made it sound like no one else was going to listen. He made it sound like King David didn't even care when he did. And he pretended that he was the only one who cared. Secondly, he said that he would always give them everything they want. Now, you know, if you complain to your mum that, you know, your brother or your sister's done the wrong thing and you say, it's not fair, sometimes your mum and dad says, actually, it's your fault. But Absalom would never say that. Absalom always pretended that he could fix everything and it would always be, always he'd give them everything they wanted. So he lied. The third thing he did wrong was he was a charmer. Everyone who wanted to approach him to come before him, he would bow down and Absalom would reach out his hand and take hold of them and he would kiss them. He's trying to charm them. He wanted to put on the charm and pretend that he loved everyone and make them all feel really special. And the fourth thing was, and do you know what happened after that? They believed him. The people believed him. And the Bible says that he stole the hearts of the people. That means he got them to love him more than he loved the true King David. Well, after 4 years of pretending to look good and lying about everything and charming all the people, Absalom made his move. You know what he did? He decided he's going to trick David so that he could become the king. So he said to David, I want to go to the city of Hebron. Hebron's a very important place because that's where David was first crowned king. And when he got there, he said to David, he was going to be worshipping God there, but he wasn't really. He was tricking David. And David said, oh, okay. And David said, go in peace. And then he got his friends at Hebron to make him the king. He didn't go in peace. He went to Hebron, he offered a few sacrifices. But what he really wanted to do, he got all of his friends together and they blew the trumpets very loud and they said, Absalom is king in Hebron. Uh-oh, that's a problem, isn't it? Because you can't have two kings, can you? You can only have one king. If you're going to have two kings, there's going to be a war. There's going to be a battle. What's going to happen? Who is the true king? What's going to happen to David? We're going to find out in a minute. We have our second Bible reading.
A messenger came and told David, the hearts of the people of Israel are with Absalom. Then David said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us, bring ruin on us, and put the city to the sword. The king's official answered him, your servants are ready to do whatever our lord of the king chooses. The king set out with his entire household, following him, but he left 10 concubines to take care of the palace. So the king set out with all his people following him, and they halted at the edge of the city, as all his men marched past him, along with all the Kerethites and Plephites, and all the 600 Hittites. He had accompanied him from Gath before the king. The whole country wept aloud as all the people passed by. The king also crossed the Kidron Valley, and all the people moved on towards the wilderness. Zadok was there too, and all the Levites who were with him were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God. They sat down at the Ark of God at Arba and offered sacrifices until all the people had finished leaving the city. Then the king said to Zadok, take the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the Lord's eyes, he will bring me back and let me see it and his dwelling place again. But if he says, I am not pleased with you, then I am ready. Let him do to me whatever seems good to him.
Thank you. All right. Well, this is a pretty bad day for David. This is the darkest day. David is in real trouble. A messenger has come and told him the terrible news that the hearts of the people are with Absalom, and they had crowned him as their king. What will King David do? Well, the first thing David did was to flee. He knows how dangerous Absalom was. David knows how to besiege a city. He'd done it many times. And what he did not know is if the people in the city of Jerusalem were with him or with Absalom. And he knew it was not safe to stay, so he fled. In verse 14 it says, David said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, "Come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin on us and put the city to the sword." So David had to flee. But something else David did was David prayed. And the prayer he prayed is actually written for us in Psalm 3, 1 to 2. And the Bible tells us that this is the prayer that David prayed when he fled from Absalom. And this is what he said. He prayed, "Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, 'God will not deliver him.' But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head high. I call out to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain." Even with everything going so badly, even though David knows that the disaster that's coming on him is part of God's judgment on him for his sin, he also knows that it's the evil work of his son Absalom. And David knows that his best protection is going to come from above. His best protection will come from the Lord. And that's why he prays. What we should always do when we're in trouble, isn't it? Pray. And then David takes action. His servants were all ready to follow him, so off they marched. They marched off out of the city of Jerusalem with all his loyal soldiers with him. And the Bible tells us that the people in the whole countryside were incredibly sad. Verse 23 says, "The whole countryside wept aloud as the people passed by. It was a very sad day for the people who loved the king." Now, there was a priest who was with David, and his name was Zadok. And he and with all the other priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God with them, and they offered sacrifices to God. And then David told them to take the Ark back into the city. This is what David said. He said, "If I find favor in the Lord's eyes, he'll bring me back and let me see it and his dwelling place again. But if he says, 'I'm not pleased with you,' then I am ready. Let him do to me whatever seems good to him." Can you see what David was doing? David was saying, "I will trust God. I'll trust him if he's pleased with me and lets me come back. And I'll trust him if he's not pleased with me and doesn't let me come back." David trusted God because he knows that God always knows what's best. And God always does what is best. Because, you see, we can't see the whole picture. Sometimes we don't know what the whole story is, but God knows what the whole story is. God knows everything that's going on in our hearts and other people's hearts. And that's why we should always trust him, especially on our really bad days. And this is a terrible day for David, a very painful day. But the one thing he did right in the midst of all his pain, that's a good lesson for us, because sometimes we have bad days, is we've got to trust him. And on those days, we need to pray to God and we need to trust God. And that's what David did. And you know, Jesus prayed a very similar prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane 1,000 years later when he was having his worst day. And we read about that prayer in Luke 22 when Jesus was just like David and Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus was going to trust God if things went good and he didn't have to die, or things went bad and he did have to die, but he knew that God knew what was best and he was going to trust God. The last thing that David did was he made plans. There's one more thing David did. Even though he was trusting God, doesn't mean you don't make plans. In fact, it's because he trusted God that he arranged everything. He got Zadok the priest and Abiathar and his two sons to go back to Jerusalem as spies. Now going to be informants to find out what was going on. To let David know what is going on once Absalom takes the city, because he knew, because here we have David, like the old David, cunning and wise, taking initiative, being prepared at times of battle. And that's what he's doing. All right, we are time for our third Bible reading, 2 Samuel 18. And we've got a young Bible reader ready to go.
2 Samuel chapter 18, starting at verse 1. David mustered the men who were with him and appointed over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. David sent out his troops, a third under the command of Joab, a third under Joab's brother Abishai, son of Zeruiah, and a third under Ittai the Gittite. The king told the troops, "I myself will surely march out with you." But the men said, "You must not go out. If we are forced to flee, they won't care about us. Even if half of us die, they won't care. But you are worth 10,000 of us. It would be better now for you to give us support from the city." The king answered, "I will do whatever seems best to you." So the king stood beside the gate while all the men marched out in units of hundreds and of thousands. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake." And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. David's army marched out of the city to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There, Israel's troops were routed by David's men, and casualties that day were a great 20,000 men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest swallowed more men that day than the sword. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and his mule went under the thick branches of a large oak. Absalom's hair got caught in a tree. He was left hanging in midair while the mule he was riding kept on going. Now we will skip to verse 16. Then Joab sounded the trumpet, and the troops stopped pursuing Israel, for Joab halted them. They took Absalom, threw him into a big pit in the forest, and piled up a large heap of rocks over him. Meanwhile, all the Israelites fled to their homes.
I'm sure I'm going to lose my job here soon with these kids doing such a great job. Well, we've had to skip over a little bit of the story here, but it's for the sake of time. But Absalom has come. He's taken the capital city. He's conquered it with his men. And now he wants to have complete control over all the land. So he's going to fight David and his men. But he's got all these advisors giving him different advice. One of the advisors said, "You should attack David straight away." But David had sent one of his own advisors to give some bad advice to Absalom and said, "Hey, you should wait for a while," which would give David and his men time to be ready for the battle. But now in chapter 18, Absalom is coming to attack David. And Absalom had actually a much bigger army than David did. And David and his men, they were getting ready for the fight. David himself wanted to go and march out with the men as well. He wanted to lead the men in battle. But the men said, "Don't do that. You're too important. We love you too much." Then David did something quite surprising. In verse 5, he told the commander of the army, chapter 18, verse 5, he said, "Be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake." Why would he want them to be gentle with Absalom? Because Absalom was trying to attack him and destroy his kingdom. But remember, Absalom was the son of the king, and Absalom, the king really loved Absalom. Loved him very much. And even though Absalom is doing a very bad thing in attacking David, David loved him so much because David wanted to make peace with his son. How can David do that? He can't let Absalom take over the kingdom and kill all his people, but he doesn't want Absalom to be killed either. And this made David sound kind of weak, because the king must act with justice and righteousness. That's what kings have to do. They have to act with justice. But for David, love was more important than justice. So they went off to battle, and you read about the battle in verse 6. This is what it says. David's army marched out of the city to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There Israel's troops were routed by David's men, and the casualties that day were great, 20,000 men. David's men had a great victory. Absalom's men were defeated. And it seems like the land itself had turned against the people of Israel. And we read in verse 8 that the forest swallowed up more people that day than the sword. It must have been very rough country that they were fighting in. And Absalom himself was captured. And you read about it in verse 9. And this is what it says. Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's hair got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair, and the mule he was riding kept on going. Oh boy, this is not good news for Absalom. He had this beautiful, long, lovely hair that I think we saw on Absalom just earlier this morning. And this hair got caught in the branches of an oak tree, and he's just left hanging there going, whoa, help. Well, what would the men do? Well, David's men came along, and at first they thought, we better not do anything, because David had said, be gentle with him. But then the commander of David's army, Joab, came along, and Joab knew that Absalom deserved to die. And he knew that David would never be safe as long as Absalom lived. So he took three spears and he threw them into Absalom's chest, and he told his men to kill Absalom. For Joab, justice was more important than love. For Joab, he wanted justice to be done. He wasn't on about love. He wanted to bring justice to stop the war. Absalom had tried to take over the kingdom, and he'd started a war, and he'd received justice, and now he was dead. And this was what the Lord had brought upon him. Now with Absalom dead, the commanders blew the trumpets, and the Joab sounded the trumpet, and the troops stopped pursuing Israel, for Joab had halted them. And as far as Joab was concerned, it was mission accomplished. Absalom was buried, and all the Israelites fled to their homes. But Joab and the army of David, this was very good news. Justice had prevailed. But for David, this was bad news. The king's son was dead. For David, justice had won, but love had lost. For David, this was a sad day. And we're up to the last reading, 2 Samuel 18:31-33.
Then the Cushite arrived and said, my lord, the king, hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by delivering you from the hand of all who rose up against you. The king asked the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? The Cushite replied, may the enemies of my lord, the king, and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man. The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. So when he said, oh, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, if only I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son.
Well, back at the city, David is waiting for the news of the battle. The first messenger who comes, there are two messengers. The first messenger is Ahimaaz, and he has the good news. It's a victory. Ahimaaz said to the king, all is well. He bowed down before the king with his face to the ground, and he said, praise be to the Lord your God. He has delivered up those who lifted their hands against my lord the king. But David wasn't so concerned about winning the battle. He wanted to know about his son, Absalom. Is Absalom all right? And then a second messenger, a Cushite, came and also tells the victory. But David wanted to know about his son. And this is what the Cushite said. May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man. Absalom is dead. And the response of David here is one of the most moving verses in whole Bible. The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and he wept. And as he went, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son. The king is devastated. He's in pain. He loved his son so much. He loved him even though he was a rebel and he deserved justice. I think all mums and dads know about that experience, don't we? You love your children and they do something wrong and you know you must discipline them, but sometimes you just want to give them a hug. And much as David loved his son, he could not save him from the consequences of his rebellion. And Joab had made sure that justice won in the end. And Joab was kind of right politically. But politics isn't everything. You see, David had experienced God's grace. David had been forgiven when he had sinned just as badly as Absalom. We know the story about how he had murdered Uriah and how God had forgiven him. And now he wanted to show love to his son, but we can't dismiss that love as weakness. See, the whole story shows us the problem that David's kingdom could not resolve. A big problem. See, the king himself was a sinner. And his son was a sinner, and his people were sinners. Absalom, in particular, deserve justice, and justice demands judgment. And David longed for something else. David longed for mercy and forgiveness. And David's cry that he cried out that day actually anticipated the solution that one day would be provided. Remember what David cried? He said, "If only I had died instead of you." That's what he cried. If only I had died instead of you. That's what David wanted to do. And I doubt that David understood how important those words were at the time. But when David's greatest son, Jesus came to die instead of his enemies. And in Matthew we read, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." In Jesus we see love and justice come together. Jesus knew that justice must be done. Jesus knew that sin must be paid for, that your sin must be paid for, that my sin must be paid for. And the penalty for sin is death. That's what Jesus knew. But Jesus also loves us, just like David loved. And Jesus loves us even more than our parents love us. And that's why he came, and that's why he died on the cross. Even though he had committed no sin, even though he was totally innocent, he died for us because he loves us. He was taking the punishment for us. So the good news about Jesus Christ is that love and justice come together. Justice satisfied by the one who loves us. In Romans 3, it says these words, that God is just, that means he always does what's fair, and he's the one who justifies, that means he puts things right, fixes things up. He justifies those who have faith in Jesus. He is the one who makes everything right. Friends, that's why we can trust him. Jesus, he loves us and he's just. That's why we can trust him. That's why we love him. And that's why Jesus is the only true king that we can have. And the question for us is Jesus your king? Have you ever thought about that? David can't be our king. David is dead, but Jesus is still alive. And as Christians, we believe that Jesus is the king that we should all serve. And trusting him means you'll always be glad you did that decision. You'll never regret it.